But welcome to the True Man Podcast with Mike Van Pelt, the comeback coach, helping you gain peace, clarity, and understanding in your walk with God as a man, a father, and a spouse. Hey, get involved with the show. Send your email to mike@truemanlifecoaching.com. If you're wondering what's gone adrift in my masculine soul and asking, is there more to life? This is where it begins. This is the True Man Podcast. Welcome to the True Man Podcast with Mike Van Pelt. This is an invitation to radical reconstruction of a man's masculine heart and soul and a place of safe community where we dare to ask questions deep-seated inside a man and explore ways to help you become a better man, a better dad, and a better spouse. Well, thanks again for listening this week. Like always, man, I just can't say enough about my audience, and I just love it that you show up every week to listen to another great guest interview. And I also, again, like I've been doing, want to mention my book that's coming out this fall, True Man, True Ways, A Roadmap of Discovery to the Masculine Heart. And I've also got this collaboration book that I've been working on, got a chapter in there, The Power of Asking for Help. I'm really, really excited about this topic and where it's going to go. So I'm in that book, Cracking the Rich Code, with Jim Britt. He's one of the world's top 20 success coaches and top 50 speakers, along with Kevin Harrington, who you know from Shark Tank. And the book is endorsed by Tony Robbins. Yes, that Tony Robbins. So it's very, very exciting time for me. Now on to the podcast. So today on the podcast, I speak with the founder of Superhuman Fathers, Kyle Carnahan. Now, warning, there may be an F-bomb or two on this particular podcast. So if you're offended by that, I apologize. But on occasion, things get really real on the True Man Podcast. And sometimes, well, frankly, things just slip out. I will say, I absolutely appreciate my guests being vulnerable and real. I mean, after all, that's the secret ingredient of the podcast. You know, and it's hard sometimes if you haven't been surrounded by men that help you along the way. And Kyle's definitely surrounded himself with the right people to get him on track. You know, you may not be accustomed to some of these real conversations, but they are really, really important that we put down the mask and we have these real conversations. So, and just listen to how Kyle got on track by being around a team of people and real men. So listen closely to his story about his work in the firehouse. Now, it's always good to be around a community that can help you get on track and be the shining example of the man that you need to be. And Kyle's going to tell us a few stories about that. So I hope you enjoy the interview with Kyle Carnahan, and I'll catch up with you after the podcast. Well, what does it take to be a superhuman father? Listen, I have a 20-year-old son, and my daughter's getting ready to turn 18. And at this point, I've had plenty of practice trying to figure this thing out. But don't let anyone know this. I'm not sure I've figured it out yet. Now, what do I do when I'm not sure if I've got it all figured out? Well, I reach out to someone to talk with about it. So welcome to the True Man Podcast, Kyle Carnahan. Kyle is the founder of Superhuman Fathers, a community and a program for men who desire to transform their lives in all areas of fatherhood. What a cause. Kyle, welcome to the True Man Podcast.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for hunting me down and inviting me, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Now listen, Kyle, you've been married for 20 years. I've seen the videos. You got 5 kids. It's a zoo in there, man. That qualifies you as a superhuman dad in and of itself. How did you come up with this idea of superhuman fathers?
Completely fucking it up. That's how.
Well, there you go. And it doesn't get much blunter than that on the True Man Podcast.
Yeah, man.
So what does that mean exactly?
It means that I was a baby boy husband, man. I was leaving messes around, and I wasn't helping my wife with the diapers. I was kind of providing, you know, income wise, but, you know, not at a super high level. And it was up and down, and my wife couldn't depend on me. And, you know, I was fun with my kids, but I was erratic with my behavior. I was angry sometimes. I was happy other times. I didn't know who was going to show up depending on how much money I made or how good or bad my day was. I was apathetic and sarcastic at times. And so I was not steady. I was not the rock of the family. I was not the leader. And my wife had to sometimes be both the mother and the father, because I would sometimes just be the PE teacher, basically a kid with kids.
Yeah. You know?
And so I had to grow the fuck up. And it was a problem. And my wife would cry herself in the bathroom. And I thought, man, she's crazy. I married a crazy one. And little did I understand at the time that I was the one causing the problems.
Yeah. Well, was there a pivotal moment where it hit you, or was it a conversation? Like, what was it that made you check up and go, oh man, I'm not being the man I need to be?
So it was a slow process, and it was the men that I surrounded myself with who showed me the right way. That was the only way I would have figured it out, is to have men that would tell me the truth and tell me how much I sucked as a husband and a father and a human being. Just like, and how did this happen for me? I was in finance at Washington Mutual Bank for when I was 21 to like 28. Mm-hmm. Lost everything in that downturn in 2008. My houses, my cars, and you know, I promised my wife a lot of stuff, and she watched me just crumble and lose everything. And so there was the first kick to the balls of my wife being like, I don't know if I can depend on this guy financially. Well, luckily I got a work ethic. I do have that. I've always had that. And I became a fireman. I went to paramedic school. I got my EMT, went to paramedic school and tested all over the world. It took me 3 years of just grind and torture to finally get hired out of state in Colorado. We moved to Colorado from San Diego to have this fire job, which paid peanuts.
Nothing. Yeah.
Bro, we were in a 2-bedroom condo with 4 kids for like years, man. And I show up at this fire department, and right out the gates, they had my number. It was like every little fault, the way I walked, the way I talked, the way I made decisions, the way I cut fruit and vegetables, the way I spoke on medical aids, the way I pulled equipment out of the engine to go on a fire, the way I pulled the hose, everything critical, 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 critical. Like some would call that like severe bullying. And I wouldn't disagree. it was brutal.
But on the other hand, right?
Yes. It shook me out of my selfish stupor.
Yeah. And
this inability to see where I was destroying my relationships and my family and being a terrible example to my kids. And yeah. I love those men. Like, they've become like the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And a lot of them were like special operators or ex-military, and they saw in me potential, and they were not afraid to tell me the truth of where I was at and what I needed to be. And I can't appreciate that more.
Well, you know, that does bring up an interesting point, and it's probably where you get this idea of forming a group called Superhuman Fathers, because I would imagine, and I've heard everybody describe it this way. I know some firemen that, you know, whether you're a fireman or a policeman or whatever, that's a brotherhood. That's a close-knit family, because at the end of the day, if you go into a fire, you're risking your life, and at the risk of bringing somebody else out alive and saving theirs, you know? And so there's a lot going on there, and that is a true brotherhood. Is that kind of where you got to see this unity of men in action? I shouldn't say just men, because there are women there too, but
yeah, there's a couple badass chicks, man. Like, damn. Like, I would have, in the beginning, it was like people like women in the fire service, women in the fire. There's a couple of these girls that I worked with that will annihilate any of these dudes.
Sure.
Such badasses. It's crazy. But you know what? I'm also married to one that is like that. So like, I got a different view. Like, people are like, I don't know about women and this and that. I'm like, my wife will kick your ass. Like, you know, but yeah, I think I've always been drawn to tribes. Like, you know, like this idea of brotherhood. And in the firehouse, it was massive for me. It was massive to have that power of a team and taking risks and going on the attack and being aggressive as men and going to war with like a worthy cause together. Yeah. I mean, there's just, to me, there's just nothing like it. And Superhuman Fathers has even taken that just to a whole nother level of vulnerability and being real. Because even at the Firehouse table, you got great guys there that you can really connect with and be real with. But there's also some chest puffers that are insecure. And there's some real bullying that happens in there, which is like egotistical, right? But in my world, that shit don't go down or you're out real quick, right?
Yeah.
So I get to control that so that we're in this like really like alpha powerful group of men that are going to war with themselves to be the best they can be for their families. But yet there is no disrespect or ego allowed in my rooms at all, from the top to the bottom.
Right.
There's no lying. It's all truth. We all know that we all got problems. We all need help. Nobody's special. And we're there for each other. That's what I wanted. I wanted that to be very clear. And I didn't want any poison in the group. And that's what we built.
Yeah. I mean, my experience is these things have, you got to create a safe environment because you're going to talk about very intimate topics that men ordinarily don't talk about.
Yep. And people like alphas steer clear of that idea of a safe environment or a safe space. It's just the connotation of the word gets skewed. Like we do, we need a place where we can truly be ourselves and be accepted. We do. We need it, you know? And then when I say accepted, I don't mean not the truth. I mean, you know, you're loved, but those men are going to tell you when you're screwing up, right? We're going to tell you the truth. You're going to tell us the truth. We're going to tell you the truth. And it's all in love. And you can feel it. It's powerful. It's tangible. It's thick, you know? And so that's it.
It's really a solid thing. I have, a group of men around me that, you know, they're going to shoot straight with me and I'm going to shoot straight with them. And that's it. And really what I've learned, and this just in some respects, it still boggles my mind. A lot of people will compliment me about having a very straightforward conversation. And it always takes me aback because I think to myself, what is everybody having fake conversations? Like what is it? I'm not even sure how.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. And the answer is
they are.
Yes, they are. And so it's been baffling to me as we've done the podcast and I've talked about my brand and what I do. And my conversations are very straightforward. You know, sometimes we talk about very challenging subject matter and people will say to me all the time, well, you know, wow, it's so, this one gets me. It's so refreshing to hear those conversations.
It's like they get punched in the face.
Like refreshing.
Oh, that was refreshing.
Yeah. And so, it just cracks me up. But I think to myself, wow, people have been having superficial conversations for so long that all of a sudden I have a straightforward conversation and it's refreshing.
Yeah. We're all worried about how we appear. And then we're also worried about offending other people so much that there's this like walking on eggshells thing going on all the time. And then we start getting super offended when people disagree with us and then they get offended. It's just, it's a mess.
It is a mess. How do you, in your group, how do you deal with this mess?
Leading by example at a very high level. So you have to earn the men's respect and the men need to know that you love them and that you'll fucking die for them. So once that is established, now nothing else matters, right? Because, and then if I'm the leader, right? And I'm the respected alpha in this room or whatever word you want to use, right? Mm-hmm. But I can share my truth, my weaknesses, my struggles, and I shed a tear in front of my men.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, oh, that's allowed here. In fact, That's what we do as men. We tell the truth and we share our feelings openly. Otherwise, you're actually being a weak little bitch if you're not sharing your truth because you're scared, right? It's fear that keeps us from sharing our truth, what we're really feeling and what's going on, what we're struggling with. Mm-hmm. And so when we're trying to act tough, it's fake, right? Bro, I don't know what's happened to me in my life, but the more honest I am, like, man, I cry with these men every day. Every single day,
yeah.
I don't have a day that I don't have tears come out of my face.
Yeah.
When I'm having a conversation with one of these men, because the more honest and open you become, the more spiritually connected you become with these men. They become family, they become brothers, and their pain becomes your pain and your pain becomes theirs.
Yeah.
And then we can make some massive developments in our lives.
It's 100% true. And I've experienced the same thing. And I'm feeling it. If you're watching this on video, like, I'm scared to death Kyle's going to come through the screen. He's so passionate about it. And it's kind of cool, you know, because he's built. My man works out, you know. But I'm afraid he's going to come through the screen here at me. But I love
the screen. Give you a big hug.
Listen, I love the passion, and talk about that. I'm really big on the faith aspect. To me, it's hard to be talking about intimate subject matter. It's hard to be talking about purpose and vision and goals and not have a faith factor in all of that. And, you know, for me, God's at the center of all of it. So how do you approach that in Superhuman Fathers?
This is such a great question, because, like, guys, guys in the group will be like, this is how church is supposed to be. But,
right? You know? We can't do this in church sometimes, because the pastor's got to please everybody.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you got to turn, the lights have to come on and the water's got to run. And if we're talking intimate discussions. I mean, what's going on
stage and you're like, I can't stop looking at porn and I just did cocaine.
Yes.
But everyone's like, keep them away from me.
Right.
And get him out, you know.
It's meanwhile, little Johnny in the front row beats his wife, and totally.
Everything's great.
Yeah,
exactly. So what's weird is, for me, I'm on my own spiritual journey, right? So I'm feeling pulled in this direction to serve and to sacrifice and to live this life of just, like, purposeful suffering on the side of progress and self-respect and self-love, because suffering's inevitable, right? We either control our own suffering and live our purpose, or we let the world crush us and we suffer. And so I go the opposite direction. I teach my men to do the same, to be in control and choose your own suffering. And amidst this is this feeling, this pull, this guiding principle, this guiding feeling, right? This voice. And so as I feel that and I adhere to it, it gets louder. And then I can start to distinguish between the enemy, whatever that might be. Is that the devil? I don't know. Is that God speaking to me? I got to be honest with you, Mike. I don't know what it is. I'm not there yet.
Yeah. But
how strange is this? So many people profess to believe. They profess to know all the secrets of the universe, and yet they do not listen. And their lives are in shambles, and they try to tell me how I'm supposed to live, but yet they do not live by example. How do you follow these people, right?
Yeah.
So all I can do is listen to the voice that is clear and the guidance that is clear to me, for me, and it's bringing me closer to it. But yet I don't know who or what that is. And people tell me, if you don't follow Jesus, then you will not have light or life or purpose in this life. And I'm like, well, if that's Jesus, then I'm following him. I just don't know it's him right now.
Yeah, that pretty powerful statement right there. And I can appreciate that. So, And some people get this, some people don't. So True Man, of the True Man podcast, True Man Life Coaching, True Man is taken right out of the Bible. It's Jesus Christ walked on earth as a true man. Now, why did we choose that? Well, what I wanted was a model way to live. And the most decent man, the most decent example of a way to live that I knew of was Jesus Christ, hence True Man. Yeah. Now, can I live the perfect life that Jesus lived? No, no one can. You know, that's impossible because we were all born into sin. But I think what's important to point out, and I think where so many circling back to the church get burned out, is so many churches have gone, you know, over the years have taught, well, you know, you're a sinner. Damn you to hell if you don't believe this way. You know, okay, that's probably not the best way to approach it. And frankly, it turns a lot of people off. My way is to say, hey, listen, I'm trying to follow this model. I'm a regular guy. I'm making regular guy mistakes. And we need to do life together so that we can learn from each other and lift each other up. Now, to me, that's, you know, that's a faith-filled life that actually provides me a life of more. And I'm non-judgmental on it. If you know, if somebody doesn't believe that way, that's fine. You know, everybody's got to do what they got to do. But, you know, I try to introduce people to the model and say, yeah, listen, you're not gonna get there, but there's some basic principles and values that Jesus has, you know, brought forth. It's in scripture.
Yeah.
That will provide you a life of more.
You know what's crazy, Mike? Is like I teach these principles that I just feel, right? Like what I teach just comes from my writings and my feeling, like attaching to this pole. And then I'll read the story of Jesus. And the exact same things that are being put in my heart are in that story. And I'm like,
yeah,
there's something here.
Well, there is. And this is where I talk about, you know, people will ask me, well, Mike, what do you do? And I commonly say, I help men get out of their head and into their heart. Because the heart is really the small brain of the Bible. It's where the most blood vessels and blood flows out of our entire body. There's more nerve endings in our heart than there is in our head. And there's a reason why we feel things in our heart. You know, when you're working with a man and that emotion comes, that emotion, you're hearing it and you're feeling it in your heart, right?
Yeah.
And so when you espouse these things to men, that's where hopefully, honestly, authentically, and vulnerably where these things are coming from. And if it's coming from the heart, it's probably coming in connection with Jesus. And you know, to me, that is a life of fullness. Because typically an easy way to live, you know, this Kyle, an easy way to live is a life of weightiness where we allow our junk to hold us back. Mm-hmm. That's an easy way to live because anybody can be crabby, angry, upset, pissed off at the world. That's easy, you know, but when you know that every day you wake up and it's a battle between good and evil, that's it. You got to know that right off the top. It's a battle between good and evil. And when you know what the war is, you can engage people on your team that will help you insulate from that evil stuff that goes on every morning. When you wake up, it starts over again.
Yeah. It's the daily war.
Yeah.
And every man understands that concept.
They understand it, but I think the important part, maybe we should talk about this a little bit, is how do we engage people to know what to understand what that battle is and how to fight? How do we help these guys put armor on so that they, you know, they can wage war on a daily basis when that, you know, in other words, when that thought of watching porn comes up or they see a beautiful woman walking down the street? Are they respectful, or are they bad stuff going through their head or whatever? And I mean, there's countless examples. How do we help guys wage war on a daily basis?
It's funny we talk about this, because I always use tie great spiritual power to your daily decisions.
Yeah.
And you will be more apt to make the right ones. The problem is when we're just trying to do it because, I think this might be the right thing, or God wants me to do this maybe, like, or, you know, I mean, but it's kind of culturally accepted. And, I'm just working on breaking a habit, you know, there's nothing behind it. Right.
Yeah.
But like, when it if I'm tempted to look at pornography or something, and I have this thought, like, if I engage in this, I will lose spiritual power, which means I will show up weak for my wife and my kids. I will not live my purpose today because I will not have the guiding force of God to put me in the places where I need to be with the people I need to be to have the impact that I need to have. And even if I get put in that position, my words will not have the power necessary to have the impact that they were supposed to have, because I was not in the right connective spiritual place. When you truly believe that, your life's going to change completely. You're going to make decisions
by
the spirit, not whatever chemicals are going on in your head.
Well said. Well said. What has been your experience when guys finally make this connection? Because most guys don't show up this way. They show up at arm's length, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know I probably need to be here, but.
We have a system. And that system starts with fitness and nutrition and wake-up times. Because we have to learn how to do stuff we don't want to do when we don't want to do it. And that's a skill. And so we start with getting out of bed when we don't want to. That's step one. Step two is starting to put forth an incredible amount of painful effort into these short workouts, 45 minutes to an hour, every single day, every day, like brushing our teeth. We do these workouts. And every workout we do, we push it. We try to put ourselves in a very uncomfortable place where we don't want to be there. Wow. So now we got out of bed when we didn't want to. We did our workout we didn't want to. And the rest of the day is we're going to restrain ourselves from food and drink and control. Try to beat this overarching addiction to food that we all have,
including
myself. And if we can beat food, we can beat anything. Like, it's the ultimate. If your nutrition is completely dialed, then everything else, it uses that same muscle, right? And so we use it as a training source to practice our discipline and our decision-making. And how do we do that? Well, guess what, my friends? Your nutrition is directly connected to your spiritual connection and spiritual power, which means if you're about to eat something and you hear or feel, you don't need that. That's not good for you. And you do it anyway, you will lose power. You will lose guidance, because when that voice speaks to you, that inclination, and you follow it, it will get louder and it will be able to guide you more. When you do not, you lose it. It gets quieter and you get weaker the next time a decision has to be made that is difficult. This is a muscle that needs to be worked and practiced. So why do my men, my transformations, why are they so exceptional? World class, best in the world? Like, any question, go to my Instagram, check my transformations. That my men are not afraid to suffer. And when I say they're not afraid to suffer, the reason I say that is because everything that a leader must do, especially a father, includes a certain degree of suffering. Like, the dishwasher's full after a 12-hour day of work. You got to get up early and get your workout in, because you got to work all day. And if you don't get your workout done in the morning, you're going to have to do it at night, which is going to steal time from your family.
It's true. Some dude with a donut in his mouth just almost ran off the road right now listening to this podcast. No, it's absolutely true. I really do try to get my workouts done in the morning. If it's a morning like this morning where I had something right away, if I can carve out time over the lunch hour, you know, I try to get it in, because I can only speak for me. when I'm consistently working out, I just feel better about me. And when I feel better about me, I'm a better man and I can be more present, you know, for my family. And, and you've got to give yourself, and I love talking about this, you got to give yourself margin on certain things. And so margin includes, you know, not just proper nutrition, that's important. But working out, I mean, if you do nothing else, just go for a 30-minute walk.
For sure.
Get out in nature.
Yep.
And see what's going on around you. You know, it's tough. You know, as we're recording this, I have a heavy indoor day. And doggone it, wouldn't you know it, the sun is out, the sky is blue, and it's really driving me bananas because I just want to go outside and be outside, you know? Love these type of days. But I'm with you on that, Kyle. I think that good nutrition, and I try hard. I don't always eat the best, but I, you know, working out has always been something. I'm not cut like you, you know, and what I found, Kyle, is that the older I get, the more I think about my legacy and what I want to leave behind and how I want to be remembered. It's funny to me that the more concerned I become about what I'm eating, how I'm hydrating, and working out, because it's like, I just want to live longer because I see the greatness and the power of everything that I'm doing, you know?
Yeah. And we can always go deeper. Everyone can go deeper, meaning more discipline, give more, put more on the altar, be better for our people, you know, sacrifice more.
Yeah.
And the deeper we go, the more joy we're going to have in our life, the more fulfillment. That's what's crazy is like, people are like, Kyle, but don't you want to enjoy life? Aren't you going to eat that pizza? And I'm like, you have no clue what I feel inside. You can't. People are like, man, look at him. He's suffering. I'm like, you have no idea the light that fills my life when I'm able to be in control of what goes in my mouth.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's a struggle for me too. I'm a food addict. That's a lot of why I built this stuff too, is because like I run to food. That's my first go-to when I'm super stressed or I'm at a flow state. I'm selfish. I need something. Like, that's my first pull.
Yeah.
Go binge on some Cinnamon Toast Crunch or donuts or something.
That sounds really good, as a matter of fact, right now.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, it's always this looming thing, but I just find that when I don't need anything is when I'm in my greatest place of power, right? Because you're really selfless, like, and you're like, I don't need that. And I know that. Here's the other thing. Like, people think I'm crazy. They're just like, wait, well, what's wrong with Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Nothing. Not, I'm telling you, nothing. There's nothing even wrong with donuts. Like, we don't demonize anything here. This is you, right? This is like, people like eat their, they're like eating something in front of me and they're like, oh, I shouldn't eat this, huh? I go, no. This is your journey, your path. What is it telling you? Are you feeling like that's bad and you shouldn't? Or are you feeling like that's where you're at? That's okay right now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, so like, everyone's got to start to listen themselves, because we're all on this journey of like leveling up to the next level, to the next level. You can't jump from step 100 if you haven't taken step one, right? And so it's like my struggle recently has been freaking protein bars. Like, people are like, protein bars? What's wrong with those? I'm like, they just have control of me. Like, I eat too many of them. I'll eat like half my food in protein bars. I'm like, that's not the best move, right? So
yeah.
Just get down to details to where you're feeling this pull to be better, right? And so you feel this urge or this voice. It's like, hey, time for you, not you, not you, not you, not you, me, to let that go. You're ready. Right.
Yeah. And
so I can't, like, everybody's in their own place. Now, if someone tells me, man, I really feel like I should stop smoking or whatever. And I'm like, well, you better do it. And then if they don't, then I'm raining judgment down on you. Yeah. I'm going to be like, hey, God spoke to you, bro. Like, you need to step up or you're going to be in a dark place until you take care of this. Right.
Yeah.
You have to keep working.
It's really interesting that you would say that. You know, I like having these conversations about, like, how do we know that God speaks to us? And I commonly say this. I was at a retreat, and one of the questions that they're really known for is, like, what are the chances that all your thoughts are your own? In other words, what's coming from God? Or what's coming on the flip side? What's the evil one saying to you? And a lot of times, you know, that there's conversations both ways. But, you know, when somebody says something like that, because I'd say the same thing, like, I'll commonly be like, okay, Mike, you don't eat horrible, but you don't eat great. But really what you need to eat is smaller portions, you know, because, you know, I'll do great. Yesterday I did great, right? I'm hydrating great. I'm having my super greens, my super reds, my protein drink. You know, I'm filling out the day. And I get done last night. It was 7:30 in the evening. And the next thing you know, I'm shoving trash down my pile.
Yeah. This is the battle.
Yeah. And so I was actually sitting there thinking to myself, dude, you just pulled off an amazing day of nutrition. As I was chomping on that ice cream dairy product that I don't need to be eating dairy anymore. So, you know, and I say that to say, we're having this conversation, not to point fingers at anybody, because you and I, we're waging the same battle every day.
It's the same. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but I think it's important, because when we have these conversations, it brings awareness to the topic, you know?
Yeah. We just want men to think about their lives. And how can I show up better for my people? Like, that's it. Like, how can I improve this creature here?
Yeah. Because
I am their greatest gift. Like, so if I show up half-ass or even average, that's the love I'm giving to them. Like, it's not okay to be an average man for your people. It's not okay. You are telling them, good enough. Good enough. My marriage is good enough. My body's good enough. My life is good enough. My wife, I'll give you good enough, bro. to me, that is hell. It's disgusting. How much do you love your people? Give them that.
Yeah.
Give them that. Create that for them. Right.
100%. And that starts with taking care of yourself. You know, which is what we're talking about. That starts with addressing wounds or past hurts. You got to deal with that stuff, because unfortunately what happens is this stuff comes up and you hurt the people closest to you. Now, I don't know why. I don't know why we do that. And I'm guilty of it as well. But that's where it comes out. And when you do that, those relationships that you really want to have that have the deepest meaning, I mean, you put a stake right in the middle of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to fix this lighting real quick. Hold on. I got the sun blaring right in my face here.
You never know. You get those blinds around you. I run into the same thing at the tail end of the day. So
seriously,
Kyle had to fix his window. No worries.
So, like, your people have to be with you. Right. Like people think I'm like real shallow, because I tell men, like, look your best for your people.
How's that shallow, Kyle?
They go, well, it's not about looks, Kyle. And I'm like, you're right. It's not. It's about respecting your wife and your kids. It's respect. Yeah. I'm not going to show up a trash bag with a belly hanging over my pants with my wife to the beach, because then she has to be attached to me. Just be like, yeah, that's mine. Like, I know. We're working on it. I don't know. You know, and then she's got to go, like, with her friend, and then her friend's husband is like lean, takes care of himself and athletic, and she's like, well, I got the dud. Damn. Like,
yeah.
Why would we do that to our wives when the all that is controlling what goes in your face? But what? Yeah. It's more important for me to get a dopamine release, right? Than to have my wife proud to walk with me. That's brutal.
I totally agree.
Hard truth that our culture does not want to share. They want you to just accept yourself. Well, how's that working for you in the mirror when you go, I accept you, and your conscience is like, I don't. You need to get your shit together. And you're like, no, I love you the way that you are. And it's like, I don't. I'm not proud of you at all. You're actually taking the easy road, and you're a piece of shit. That voice is real.
Yeah. You know?
And men think that's a bad voice. It is not. It is the voice of truth trying to get you on the path. Listen to it.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, if those voices are floating around in your head, what you need to do is you need to get with somebody like Kyle. You need to get with somebody like me, and you need to surround yourself with a good group of guys, because the problem is what we typically do. The default here is isolation. Yep. And if you isolate yourself, you're just going to shove more food down your pie hole, and you're just not going to work out. And I think one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves is to be around a group of people with the same mission, because then you're not alone. Because, you know, one trip to the gym, I mean, you know, you're not going to see anything. 1 week at the gym, you might not see anything. Man, after a couple of weeks, you know, you're going to start to transform your life if you're eating and exercising regularly. That's just a fact.
Yep.
That's just a fact. And you will be a better, more mentally and physically fit person. And, you know, and hopefully you're exercising your spiritual muscles at the same time. So,
yep. And that's a good point you bring up. Like, this is not about fitness and nutrition. This is about your marriage. This is about your fatherhood. This is about your discipline and your spirituality. It's all connected, and you can't just be one. You have to do it all, and you can. You just have to be very, very planned, dedicated, disciplined, and intentional.
Yeah.
All of it.
People say to me all the time, well, I don't have time to work out. Let's talk about your schedule. How much time did you spend on Facebook today? Well, you know, I was like, you know, next thing you know, you got some guy who's been online for like an hour during the day. Get up a half hour earlier, put down that daggone phone that serves no purpose whatsoever.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you do nothing, I'm not even asking for a lot of times, just give me 30 minutes. I mean, 30 minutes would be a pretty weak workout for me, but for somebody else, that may be great. That may be great. You know?
Yeah. Also programming, like you can program a 30 minutes that like will.
Well, that's true too. I mean, I wasn't terrible. Going down the high intensity badass thing that you do.
Yeah.
Probably tossing tires around and.
Yeah. Some people just need to start something. Right.
Yeah.
Like if someone's real big, if they got like 100 pounds to lose, I'm like, hey bro, you're just walking for like the first 4 weeks. You're just walking. That's all we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it's all going to be nutrition for those first like 30, 40 pounds.
Yep.
You know?
Well, Kyle, this has been a great conversation. As we wrap up, and I'll put all this information in the show notes, how in the world can people get a hold of you and hear about Superhuman Fathers?
Yeah. Best place is Instagram at Superhuman Fathers. That's where all my content goes out. You see my stories, you'll see my transformations as they come out. You'll get little snippets of what's going on in the brotherhood with my family. And in the end, like, you know, the way I tell people is like, if you're going to hire a coach or enter a group, like you look at the coaches and the leaders and do you respect them? Would you not want to disappoint them at a very high level? Are they living the message that they teach? And do they have a massive amount of social proof? Like those three things. If you have all those, hire them.
I agree. Yeah, dig deep on that animal. Well, Kyle, thanks for being on the True Man Podcast. Greatly appreciated our conversation and spending some time with you.
Yeah, that was real, honest, and like the best kind of conversation there is.
Amen, brother. Take care. All right. Well, that was some straight talk from Kyle. I really enjoyed our conversation and keeping it real. Listen, I'm around so many guys anymore that we have real conversations and we're vulnerable. It's just awesome to be around groups of people like that. And that's what Kyle leads. And that's the type of groups that I lead as well. So, and I want to talk about something that came up on the podcast today that Kyle touched on. And I think it's really important as men that are doing the type of work that we're doing. And that's leading by example. When you become a leader, and if you're a father, by the way, you're a leader. You're leading your house. And when you become a leader, you quickly realize that deeds speak louder than words. People are watching you and what you do. Your children will follow your lead. So if your deeds are bad, they're going to repeat the process. Now, you can talk all day about the value of hard effort, devotion, and honesty. But if you're not willing to put into practice good deeds, your words are nothing. And this is where leading by example comes in. It's the best method to demonstrate to your family, your team at work, and the people that you lead in general that you're not just talking. You're not feeding them bull. You're walking the walk. You know, as a leader, you must recognize that your actions will influence others, whether positively or adversely, and that your every move will be scrutinized. You know, becoming a boss is like getting arrested, according to Kim Scott in her book, Radical Candor. Everything you say or do has the potential to be used against you. Ouch. You better be using your deeds for good. Setting a good example with your personal action shows your family or the people that you lead that you're willing to walk the walk. And frankly, we need more men like that in the world. And I want to encourage you to find groups like Kyle's and Superhuman Fathers. And if you don't know where those groups are or who to contact, please let me know. I have resources around the country. And I bring this up to you because if you're not sure if you're leading by example, maybe you need to get around guys that are. And, you know, we all need to be around people that can help show us the way and people that we can lead on. And there are a lot of great groups, men's groups specifically around the country that, you know, can help you just by being around guys that are living it day in and day out. They can help you rise up and be more. Now, you may not be the type of person who likes that group stuff right now. Maybe you need to get your confidence up. Maybe you're not sure about this whole group thing and you like a little one-on-one time. Listen, perfectly understandable. And here's a little information I just came across on the idea of one-on-one coaching that I think is pretty interesting. You know, according to the Institute of Coaching, coaching has a dramatic influence with a whopping 80% of persons who have undergone coaching reporting considerable rise in their self-confidence. And furthermore, over 70% of individuals who receive coaching have seen a significant increase in their professional performance, relationships, and communication skills. That's important because as a leader, remember, people are going to be watching your deeds, so you want to be doing the right thing. So the influencer you are, the leader you are, you may need to build up some of your abilities, such as effective communication, problem-solving, decision-making, delegation, conflict resolution, whatever the case may be, wherever you're at. That's what I do. I come walk alongside you and help you work through that. You know, coaching can assist you in identifying your strengths and your limitations in areas, as well as providing you with the tools and techniques to show up and develop. In addition to that, working on your life skills will definitely help you show up better as a man, a father, and the husband that you want to be. And what more could you ask for? So listen, if you'd like to learn more, reach out to me, mike@truemanlifecoaching.com. And you can grab my calendar from my website and make an appointment. That initial conversation is at no cost to you. What do you have to lose? Listen, I want to see people lead by example, and I want you to be the example. Lead your family well. And I know you can get there. Well, I hope you enjoyed my interview with Kyle Carnahan today. Join us next week when we have another amazing guest. Please, 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 as well, leave us a great review if you enjoyed today's interview on your favorite podcast channel. Until next time, go out and make this your very best day ever. Improve your life today with Mike Van Pelt and True Man Life Coaching. Let's develop a roadmap of discovery that leads to success and satisfaction in your life. For additional information and details on how to schedule an initial coaching call, go to TrueManLifeCoaching.com.